So have you noticed when the news gets really, really bad, the music on TV gets really, really bad? Television news uses music to evoke a mood, and we heard a lot of this kind of mood music, this sort of tragedy-inspired mood music on the anniversary of 9/11 this week. But great music can come out of tragedy. Often it inspires composers to create what really moves us. And all of this motivated our friend Terrence McKnight to join us this morning. He hosts a music program just down the hall from us here at WNYC. Terrence, you know good music. And you also know the sort of the history and the sort of mood and narratives that are tied up in a lot of the really most famous pieces of music. And I want to begin with the Piano Concerto No. 2 of Rachmaninoff here. Let's just play a little bit, Dylan. This is a really famous piece. What was going on in Rachmaninoff's life before he wrote this?
This work, these notes that we're listening to, is a result of a guy who had such high expectations, and everybody had high expectations for him or from him because he was a child prodigy.
Right.
And went on to go to college at age 9 and graduated at 19. And his first symphony was such a flop that he left while the band was still playing.
Wow.
It was hard for him to show his face. It was hard for him to write music. He went almost 4 years without writing another piece, had to undergo psychotherapy. And through all of that, this is what he came out with.
Whoa.
After all, after those 4 years, this is the piece that he came out with. And I'll go on to say that part of the problem with his first symphony was not so much the music, but the conductor was supposedly on the podium drunk.
But that always is bad. Yeah.
And the orchestra was uninspired. Yeah.
But the symphony was a head piece. This is a heart piece. Let's move a little bit later in the concerto and tell us what's significant about this part here.
Well, you can see, you can hear in this music that Rachmaninoff has gotten his confidence back. I mean, the orchestra's going to join him in this big celebration. Yeah, so he's got his confidence back. He's at the piano. The orchestra is with him, and this became a pop song.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. It's a Barry Manilow tune, right?
Full Moon and Empty Arms, something like that. Yeah.
We will spare our audience by not playing the.
And we won't sing it either.
Right, we won't sing it either. Right. Oh, it's a great tune. But fade that down for a second. I just want to take 2 seconds and say, you know, when I lost a girlfriend one time before I got married, there was nothing that would help me except for this song here. This song, Disney tune, Beauty and the Beast. I would get drunk and listen to this song and weep. And that's enough of that. Why does that work, Terrence?
Well,
why does that stuff
obviously
work?
You were the beauty, John.
Right. But we use, I mean, we embrace music, even bad music, to just get us through these rough times. And it's amazing how emotionally charged music can be.
Well, and that's why I brought you these examples, because, John, we have to know that there are some people out there lonely. I mean, if you go to Craigslist and look at personals, you'll see how many lonely people there are out there, as well as other personals. And, you know, people are having hard times with, you know, all that's going on. So music,
let's hear a peep of this Aretha Franklin that you played a moment ago, Dylan.
Another source of comfort.
Yeah.
Now, this is a little more direct
than
the Rachmaninoff.
In trouble. You need some love and
care. That is so great.
Ain't nothing going right.
Woo. Now, what she's setting up here, John, is a piece by Thomas Dorsey written in 1932, a tune called Precious Lord. Here, Thomas Dorsey, another guy similar to Rachmaninoff. He was very talented. He had a troubled kind of a childhood, dropped out of school, moved to Chicago and started studying music. Well, he had started studying music when he was in Atlanta, but he studied music in Chicago and went on to become the father of gospel music. He started working with singers like Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey, Mahalia Jackson. And in the midst of all of that, he had a nervous breakdown, and he decided that he was not going to write blues anymore, that he was going to write religious music, spiritual music, gospel music. And his wife and his child died during childbirth, and he wrote a tune called his very, you hear it right here, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Well, I feel
400 compositions this guy composed, but this is probably
this is the one.
The one.
Well, you chose an amazing tune that you know I've known for a long time, Oliver Messiaen's Quartet for the End of Time, which was written under some also pretty amazing circumstances of history.
8 years later. Olivier Messiaen, French composer who joined the French army. He wanted to fight, but he had bad eyesight. And so he became like a orderly, a medical orderly. Well, he was captured by the Germans, sent to a prison camp, and found other musicians in the prison camp. And when they found Messiaen, he didn't have like a syringe or bandages. He had musical scores on him. And
I understand the instrumentation in this quartet is just what was available at the POW camp.
Right. He found a cellist. He found a violinist. He found a clarinetist. And he was a pianist. So he put together this piece called Quartet for the End of Time. And these POWs performed this piece in front of a few hundred guards and other prisoners of war in 1941.
Wow. You know, lastly, and you know, I could go for another hour with you, but we have Shostakovich, Symphony No. 7. There's nobody more brooding than Shostakovich. Take us out with this.
1941, his city, Leningrad, was being invaded by the Germans. Shostakovich wrote this four-movement piece. Millions, nearly a million people in Leningrad had been killed because of starvation, because of air raids, and Shostakovich stayed around, and he wrote this symphony with all of that stuff going on. He stayed in the city, wrote this symphony. He called the last movement Victory initially, and you get a sense that the victory doesn't come immediately, but you have to wait for it. You hear brooding, building up, building up, building up.
Wow. Terrence, you are the beauty. I am the beast. Thanks for joining us today on The Takeaway. I hear victory. Does not get better than that. Thank you, Terrence.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.